Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is a Savage Nation trying to cheer up a defeated nation, a nation run by the worst administrator in American history. We'll call him an administrator. If this guy was running a college, he would have been thrown out by now for incompetence and for being anti-college. So this weekend was Fleet Week in San Francisco. The whole week is Fleet Week, and Navy ships come in, and I usually get invited aboard a warship. I went aboard the USS Somerset, which is an amphibious landing ship, and it's an amphibious transport dock ship. Now, it's a new ship. It's only 2 years old. It had the new ship smell on it. Still had the new ship smell. And I love warships, and I love meeting the young people who make this ship run. They usually take Marines into harm's way. They are known as, in the parlance of the guys and the women who run them, as the taxi for the Marines. You know, and despite what Obama has done to the military, despite his decapitation of the command structure in order to render the military somewhat like the Soviet Navy before it lost its interchange with the Japanese Navy in the early 1900s. Yeah, oh, that's what happened. You know, the Soviets once had the most powerful Navy in the world, so they thought. And these dreadnoughts went up against the young, aggressive Japanese Navy, and they were decimated. And Obama, of course, would like to see that happen to this Navy. We know that. But it's not going to happen. Because I met some of the most wonderful people in the world on that ship. The men and women who actually make the ship run. And they're still there. These ships would not run if it wasn't for these, how shall I put it? They stand straight and tall. Their shoulders are back. They're made of iron. They're brave and they love America. There's no other way to put it. And I loved being aboard this ship because it's named for, why do you think the ship is called the USS Somerset? And the food was great, by the way. I got to tell you, the food was great. Normally, you would think that the buffet aboard a Navy ship would be horrendous, you know, for guests. And especially during sequestration, where only the money goes to the grifters who support congresswomen and senators. But no, the food was good. They catered the sushi. They had a slicing bar, or whatever you call it, a hot bar with the roast beef and the lamb chops. I'm normally on a low cholesterol diet, which is why I'm still alive. Despite what idiots who are high school dropouts know nothing about science. I can't believe what I'm listening to on the radio now. You got morons who dropped out of high school giving you lectures on medicine. I can't believe it. Oh, the government told you the cholesterol's bad for you, but it's really good for you. No, moron. No, moron. That's not the way science works. It wasn't the government. It was the Framingham Heart Study. Go explain that to a high school dropout who smokes cigars, who's giving you health lectures now. But I violated my anti-cholesterol regimen, and I had like maybe 4 lamb chops. I can't help it. It's the kid in me. I'll have another and another, and the shrimp and the this and the crabs. But here's the surprising thing. The Somerset was named for, you know what? Does anyone know what Somerset is referenced to? United Airlines Flight 93, when the vermin called Islamo-fascists. Islamo, I-S-L-A-M-O, hyphen, fascists. The Muslim terrorist bastards flew those planes into the World Trade Center, then into Pennsylvania. This ship was created in namesake for the people who died aboard that flight. And there's a memorial wall to them, and it's pretty stirring to see the people have not forgotten who they are. Remember, the passengers and crew were able to make calls from the flight and then learn of the events that were unfolding at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon. And realizing then that their plane was under attack by the Islamo-vermin, the passengers decided to take action. And their heroic stand lasted only a few minutes. But their actions reverberate loudly today, right now, on the Savage Nation. And at 10:03, the plane crashed into a reclaimed coal strip mine in Stony Creek Township in Somerset County, PA. You should know that had it not been for the brave actions of these people aboard that plane who knew they were going to die, but chose to try and kill the vermin, the filthy vermin who took over that plane. The Islamo-fascist vermin would have reached their intended target, and countless more lives would have been lost. And so the ship is named in their memory. It should stand as a reminder to all of us that all of us can play a role in fighting the fascists who are now trying to take over the world. Make no mistake about it. They're everywhere, and Obama's importing them as quickly as possible. Now, I didn't say he's seeking out ISIS members, but I also didn't say he's not seeking out ISIS members. If you flood America with Muslims from a war zone, can anyone listening to this show, no matter how brainwashed you are, can you honestly tell me that you know which one of them is a genuine refugee and which one of them may be an ISIS member hiding as a refugee? You know you can't. You say, well, what do I care? Well, if you don't care, then don't listen to the show. Go listen to NPR. Go waste your time listening to garbage, because this country, this world that you live in, is under attack on a daily basis. If you think it's hyperbole, I can't help you. It means that your head is in the sand. We are fighting a world war. And guess who's winning? It's not us. And that's because we lack a commander-in-chief. We have a lying, thieving commander-in-chief who refuses to acknowledge the enemy itself. How do I know that's true? Why am I so alarmed about the fact that ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the other Islamo-fascists around the world are not being decimated, not being degraded, not being defeated, but are in fact metastasizing into a cancer that could sweep over the entire world that you live in? Why do I say it? Even Cameron of England 2 weeks ago corrected Obama when they were on a panel at the UN. And Obama dared say that all religions have terrorists in them, and Cameron had to literally catch him and say, now, Barack, we've both fought them together, and you know that it's particularly Islamic fascists that threaten the world. And Obama didn't change his tune. He didn't lose a beat. Because Obama's on a tear here. He is on a tear. And you have to ask yourself why he won't put Islamo next to it when even Muslims understand that it's connected to Islam. How can you call Islamic State not Islamic State? What are they? What are they? The Buddhist state? The Jewish state? The Christian state? The Hindu state? The Zoroastrian state? They want a fundamentalist 7th century world to emerge on the planet. And you won't survive in it. Your wife will be in a burqa. Your daughter will be sexually mutilated. You will live in a hell you could never imagine. But you wouldn't know that given the media that we have today. And so, as I say, we have the warships, we have the planes, we have the tanks, we have the missiles, we have weapons that we can't even imagine, but we don't have the leadership. The commander-in-chief has decapitated the leadership. The ships still sail, the planes still fly, but they don't hit the targets. Did you know what news story I broke for you last Friday? I'm the only one in the radio media who got it. Do you remember the story? It's an astonishing story. I put it up on michaelsavage.com. I'm shocked. I think I tweeted it out. I'm doing more tweeting now. I have 3 people tweeting. I decided to become a tweeter. Apparently everyone likes to tweet, so I'm tweeting as often as possible. And here it is. It was from the Free Beacon, but I saw it from a source before that. U.S. pulls aircraft carrier from the Persian Gulf. Obama suddenly, in the middle of the night, 11 o'clock our time, last Thursday or Friday night, abruptly pulled the USS Theodore Roosevelt out of the Persian Gulf. This is the first time since 2007 that the United States has no aircraft carrier in the sea. He took it out late Thursday night under the lying guise that it was taken out for maintenance. Can you believe that he gets away with a thing like this? The ship has 5,000 troops and 65 combat planes. And Obama abruptly removed this ship from the Persian Gulf. Why did he do it? He didn't do it for maintenance. I told you why I think he did it. He did it because he was afraid the Russians would sink it. That's how sad this country has become under this man in the White House. Look, I've heard it before, Mike. Get off the Obama bashing. I can't get off it. There's no way to stop it. The man is a disaster. He's going to destroy all of us unless somebody steps in and says it. I'm saying it. A few others are saying it. There's not a lot of us left who are willing to even say it. Steve Croft on CBS News tried to take the charlatan on. We have that sound. We have one person in the electronic media, other than the few people in radio, who dare take on the charlatan, the conniver in the White House. Steve Croft challenged him on every level. And the snake thought that he charmed everybody with his lies, because he's gotten away with it all his life. Ever since he's been a little child, this kid has gotten away with anything he wanted, because he's a silk smooth, pathological liar, possibly mentally ill. Now, all of that wouldn't matter to me if he wasn't the commander-in-chief. We are losing the war against the most dangerous terrorists the world has ever seen. We're losing it. I can prove it to you. You know, the news is so bad that I dare not give it to you. I started by talking about the positive of the ship, but I realize I'm getting agitated. It's only Monday. And by the way, I think I've canceled my vacation. That's right. Remember I told you I was going to go away Wednesday for a week? No, I'm not going. I can't. There's too much work. I have the book coming out, Government Zero. I can't go away. I can't turn my back from what this charlatan is doing for a second. There's too much at stake. This is a touch-and-go situation, whether we're going to survive another year and some months from him. I don't know if we can survive it. I honestly don't know. I don't know how much more harm he can do that we can still function as a functional nation. Wait until you hear the sound that I play of some of the radicals in the black movement, what they've been screaming at events. Wait till you hear what Reverend Wright, remember him, said at a rally amongst black radicals over the weekend. And when you hear Reverend Wright, you'll know that this is Obama. This is Obama's id speaking nakedly and loudly. And then you'll understand some of the reasons that we're having this trouble. Jeremiah Wright says Jesus was a Palestinian. Now, of course, there were no Palestinians at the time of Jesus. Everyone knows Jesus was Jewish. Everyone on earth knows Jesus was Jewish. And yet to this psychopath, Obama's preacher, he said Jesus was a Palestinian. And the black people in America, he said, are like Palestinians. You have any idea how psychotic this is? Do you have any idea to speak like this at a Million Man March or the National Mall on Saturday? Do you know how incendiary this is? Do you have any idea that Obama is Jeremiah Wright exposed? Play that soundbite before I take my break. And while people are listening to this, I invite them to go to my website, michaelsavage.com, for one reason. I'm trying to get pictures up of me on the Navy ship, and you'll see some of the young men and women who fly those helicopters, et cetera, and steer the ship. It's amazing to see these guys. They're still there. And I talked to these kids, and now they got into it. But I put something new up under Government Zero, my new book. I put up all the chapters of the book, because most people write books that are fluff. They put their name on them, they write a few words, and they sell another book. I want you to see that I am still the scholar I always have been. You wait till you see the chapters and what's in them, and then you'll find out you cannot resist it. There it is. It's up there. There's Mike with the helicopter next to the young men in the flying machines. And there's the Let's Roll picture. It's up. Fleet Week, Savage next to the tent where there was good roast beef and good shrimp on Let's Roll. Savage next to the Huey helicopter. Savage next to the Black Hawk. And I talked to these young men who fly these things. I asked them how they got into the Navy and how they do it. You know what? You need to be around really good Americans, not around the garbage that the media selects. You got to stop listening to the garbage in the streets that they go and look for in Ferguson and the gutters of Oakland. And go look at the black men on the ship, and you'll see the real black community. And you'll see patriotic black men, not haters of America. Go aboard a ship, and you'll see young people and old people of all races who love this country, not the garbage that the media focuses on. That's all I can say. That's my opening. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
We must not continue to let a minority of Europeans rule over the majority of the black inhabitants of the planet Earth. The whole earth belongs to our people, not just Puerto Rico, not just the Dominican Republic, not just Guatemala. The whole earth belongs to our people.
Those are the sage words of one of the attendees of the so-called Million Dunce March this weekend. No doubt stirred on by the dunce in the White House who was stirring up as much hatred as he can against the Caucasian people in plain English. I don't know how else to put it. You know, maybe I have Tourette syndrome. Maybe I've come to understand that's my problem. I have radio Tourette's. I don't know how to mince words. If I knew how to mince words, I would be a politician. I have radio Tourette's. So forgive me for telling it like it is. And these people would not be heard from were it not for the character in the White House. Were it not for the hatred coming out of Obama in his silk-smooth delivery, every which way, sending out the signals, saying it's okay now to pop out of the woodwork and spew your hatred, we wouldn't be hearing from these people. But this is the dangerous situation we're in. He's not fighting the external enemies, and he is promoting the internal enemies. A toxic brew indeed. So as I say, you know, you got to go on with your life every day. And Fleet Week for me is it comes once a year. I look forward as a former boater. I don't boat anymore. I sold my boat. People say, how's your boat? I sold it 2 years ago. I was on the water for 15 years or more. Started with a little powerboat, a Carver. Then I worked my way up to something else. I think it was a flat-bottom Carver. I rolled all over the bays. The panic when I was docking it out in Loch Lomond Marina where the winds were so bad. I mean, I have it. You know, let me tell you, docking a powerboat can be very, very treacherous if you don't know what you're doing and if you have a flat-bottom boat and you don't know how to work the two engines. It was pretty bad when I first started. And then I moved up to a Grand Banks, a 42, which had a deep keel and big propellers. Changed my life completely. You can still get blown off a dock in San Francisco if you don't know what you're doing. And then I got the grand lady of them all, a 59-foot Grand Banks Aleutian. Unbelievable. Big engines, big propellers, bow and stern thruster. Became a different world altogether. So I was on the bay for many years, and I used to love spending my Sundays basically alone. I went out with my dog. I don't like talking to people on a boat. Two reasons. One, you could run someone over on a kayak, run over one of the morons in a kayak, who are just like bicyclists. They think you should see them in the middle of a swell. You're supposed to see them because they're so perfect. I'll get back to the Navy in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Blue Monday, I'm a hit Blue Monday.
The Savage Nation. So discount the first 30 minutes of my show. I was only doing radio Tourette's for you. And everything I said is 100% true, but discount it. So let me go backwards. So it was Fleet Week. Again, I'm going to talk about it because, you know, I'm inspired by it. And if you do go to my website, and I invite you to do so, michaelsavage.com, see the Fleet Week pictures. Fleet Wheat pictures. The Fleet Wheat is very good wheat. It's gluten-free wheat. I mean wheat. Anyway, the words are fun. Fleet Week. So there's a picture of yours truly next to the big tent where they had the civilian guests in there for the food. And the. I didn't tell you about the dancing girls yet. I was shocked. I mean, a Navy ship with entertainment, three gorgeous girls dancing with a guy like a 40s review. I'm flying over the cuckoo tree, no one else but me, but me. And I had already four beers at that point, and a vodka, and I was feeling no pain, as Jackie Gleason used to say. And I was stuffing my face with food. So my assistant, Ryan, was videoing it. Ryan, could you put that up, the dancing girls? Ryan, he left already. I have such a crack staff. Put up the dancing girls on michaelsavage.com. That's all they want to see. They don't want to see me. So after the show, there were the speeches. After the eating, I went outside. I can't take speeches. I'm sorry. I'm just not polite. I hung around outside taking pictures of the dusk with the city behind us. And then all of a sudden, the music started. And there were three girls dancing in like 40s outfits. And a guy with like baggy zoot suit doing like music of the 40s. If you were doing a film of the 40s, you'd hire this group to sing 40. They even broke into like a Yiddish song, which I thought was crazy. I mean, Mr. Shane. What is that? How did that happen? I thought I was at a bar mitzvah in Queens in the 1950s. But anyway, there was a Navy ship, and all of a sudden, I mean, Mr. Shane was being sung. I didn't get that. That must have been popular in the 40s before America was replaced, the Jews were replaced by Arabs, by Obama. Yeah, that's another thing I noticed. As he's displacing the white people in America with folks from everywhere on earth except Europe, did you notice that he's pushing the Jews kind of in the background, bringing in the Arabs, and that there's a lot of crime against Jews in America? Didn't notice that either, huh? The last to notice that will be the liberal Jews. Oh, yeah, they're the last to notice anything. Geniuses, billionaires, trillionaires, geniuses in art, medicine, science, business. They don't even notice what's going on around them in their own country. A Molotov cocktail was thrown at two Orthodox Jews in the middle of the streets of New York yesterday by an Arab who said, "I will kill you." Everywhere you turn, you see this going on. But all right, don't pay attention. Put your head in the sand. So anyway, the music was pretty good. And the dancing got me, you know. So I jumped in front of the camera. It's so what for a minute on the stage. What is a big deal? It was just, I was in a good mood. And there's the ship. It says, "Let's roll." Food was great. I violated my anti-cholesterol regimen. I must have had more saturated fat and cholesterol in that one meal than I had in the entire previous week. Although I must say I'm craving it lately. I got to talk about this for a minute. Because, you know, there's one thing I'm not going to tolerate. Stupidity. I will not tolerate it no matter who it comes from. Left, right, center. But when I hear people get on the radio who you trust and say to you that there's no such thing as worrying about fat or cholesterol in food, that it's all hogwash, I'm sorry, I have to criticize it. And then to have the audacity to say that you believe it because the government tells you to believe it, I'm sorry, this is my field. And I'm not going to listen to an uneducated dolt talking to you about health and medicine. I won't listen to it. You know, medicine is based upon science. Science is a process. Science is based upon evidence. The evidence is very clear, not pretty clear, very, very clear, that those who eat high cholesterol, high saturated fat diets, die at a much higher rate of cholesterol, of heart disease, coronary heart disease, atherosclerosis in specific. It's not a disease of the heart, it's a disease of the blood vessels. This has been well known for a long period of time, going back to the 1950s. The best studies in the early days were by the Shute brothers, S-H-U-T-E, geniuses, you never heard of them, who showed definitively that if you use mega doses of vitamin E, you can reverse this. Then there were the great studies on other things that built slowly to the epidemiological studies, which showed, especially the Framingham study in Framingham, Mass, of huge numbers of people, again, definitively showing those who were on high cholesterol, high fat diets had much higher rates of atherosclerosis, therefore heart disease. And you have to know this is based on scientific evidence, not upon feelings. So you say, well, how do you explain those who live to 90 who eat garbage diets and smoke cigars and drink whiskey? I defined them in 1983 in a book of mine as nutritional rogues. There are always going to be people who can abuse their bodies and live to a ripe old age. The rest of us are not as blessed as the nutritional rogues. Most of us aren't. They're the outliers. Most of us don't have that luck. You see what I'm saying? So we have to, like, watch what we eat, we exercise. That's common sense. But to throw all of common sense out with the anti-government rhetoric that is raging in the right-wing community now is nonsensical and sickening. So I watch my diet, but I'm saying I violated it because while I was in graduate school many years ago, I remember going to my professor and saying something about this, saying, no, I don't want to eat that cheese because it's too rich in cholesterol. And she said to me, it doesn't matter what you occasionally do. Your body can handle it. It's what you do on a regular basis. So that's why I occasionally have a pizza. I love it. You know, see what I'm saying? So it's like what you do on a general basis. Your body will adapt to it. Anyway, that was a fun night. Sunday was, I'm reviewing the weekend. If I read you the news headlines, you're gonna get sick. Okay, I'll read them to you. And the sound, you think I'm just stalling because I don't have news. Oh, I have news. Let's start with the stories. And they're not ranked in order. Jeremiah writes as Jesus was a Palestinian. That is so racist, it's frightening. There was no such thing as a Palestinian when Jesus walked the earth. He was Jewish. Even every Christian, every educated Christian knows that. But to black revolutionaries like Barack Obama and Jeremiah Wright, this is the distortion of history that they use in order to marginalize Jews. Next. Cubans retire to Florida with help from U.S. taxpayers. Did you know they're flooding in now? They never lived here, but they're flooding in now under some stupid law going back forever. They can come right in and collect supplemental security income, free a government apartment, food stamps. They come here at age 75 into Cuba, into Miami. They get a free apartment, food stamps, $700 a month. And the guy says, you know, they're much better than pensions in Cuba. He says, we get $7 a month in Cuba. Here I get $700. He says, I have an American flag in my house. I'm happy. I want to be an American citizen. Have you ever heard of a stupider nation on earth? Have you ever heard of anything as dumb as this? Cubans retire to Florida with help from U.S. taxpayers. That should burn you up. Let's see. Obama defends Syria strategy, criticized Putin's leadership role. Stupid. We have a president, you know, if you were doing a cartoon, he would be deaf, dumb, and blind as to what he's actually doing in the world. The man truly does not know what a loser he actually is. No one tells him. He can actually reverse reality in his head and say Putin is the loser and he's the winner when the whole world is laughing at him behind his back. How does he get away with it? Because he's blind and he's deaf to the truth. He's blind to the truth. No one ever shows it to him. And if he ever hears about it, he says these are just haters of black people. They hate you because you're black, Barack. They hate you because you're black, Barack, not because you're a complete and utter failure and a laughing stock around the world. And so he lives in a fantasy world. Numbers USA president says Paul Ryan is terrifying, an open borders guy that steeps out of every pore of his being. I'd like Trey Gowdy to be speaker, by the way, someone like that. DNC chair, the ever insane Debbie Wasserman Schultz, told CNN's Dana Bash Sunday that all of the remaining Republican candidates are trying to out-Trump Donald Trump and is saying, quote, yeah, let's kick women. Let's kick them and immigrants out of this country. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is by definition insane, which is why she's the chair of the DNC. Next. Wesley Pruden wrote a great article, The Cipher in the White House. That was a great article. That's all. There's more, and the sound, and the this, and the that, on the Savage Nation. I don't know, there's no one listening right now. I can tell you right now, it's a very small audience. Another holiday. Another three-dayer in America. Does anyone work other than me? Again, no one's working. Another holiday, stay home and do nothing. What do they do on the day off? What are people doing? I'm trying to think what an average, a normal person would do. Not average, normal. Let's see, the golf bag, that would be one thing. That's very exciting. A drive in the country, that's exciting. Yeah, that really moves me. Let's see. I don't know what an average... What are you doing a day off? How could you have a day off from using your brain? What do you mean, a day off from what? From thinking? Well, excuse me, since most Americans always have a day off, I don't think that they need another day off. Then maybe they need a day on. Speaking of television, Homeland stank. I don't know what's with it. It's like, so... The only good scenes were when the assassin character killed the Muslim woman in the burqa who was recruiting young American moron girls to become suicide bombers. After she went in the bathroom and changed into a full, you know, head covering job, and she came out and he saw it was her because of the tweaking of the car with the key, and he put two and two together and he went up to her, pulled out his gun, pulled down her thing. She looks at him and her eyes show abject terror and he shoots her in the brain. That I liked. That was good. That was very good. Other than that, I mean, it was, you know, I don't like Homeland anymore. Oh, The Affair I watch after Homeland. What a stinker that is. Yeah, it's so boring, man. It's worse than a bad romance novel, which I don't read, The Affair. And, well, I tuned it in the first year. It was pretty good. It got, you know, the married guy with four kids, younger woman, waitress, da-da-da-da, comes from the towny crowd in the Hamptons. The fishing community people, but they're really coke smugglers because they can't make payments on the family farm. It was good the first year. This is so bad. You know, who cares about another person's affair? I mean, that's exciting. Everyone's just waiting for a nude scene. That's all. Which I turn it off. I don't even want to watch it. It's just uncomfortable. So that's a stiff. There's nothing to watch anymore on TV. I was sitting in the dark. Last night, watching it with the two of them. I do a back-to-back on Sunday nights. I do a Homeland, and then I do The Affair, and then I go to sleep. So I'm sitting in the doggers on the floor, and I'm talking to him. And he hears me, like, saying, Teddy, it's a stiff. My father used to say that about bad movies. He would go to the movies, God rest his soul. he'd come back and he'd give an analysis for the family. Once in a while, he'd run out of the house and go to a movie alone. He needed a break. There were no TV movies then. It was Channel 2, 4, and 5. And that was it. There was no movies on TV, really. So a movie would come out, he'd come back, and he'd give a movie review. And the movie review would be, it was a stiff. It's true. These two shows are now a stiff. I told it to Teddy. And he agrees with me 100%. Then, there's nothing left on TV. I mean, since the other show went off, that I used to watch on Sundays, I forgot it already. It just shows you how fleeting media is. Like, if I left the radio, would you remember me tomorrow? No. No, you would. You remember me for a few days. Where's Savage? Who was that guy? I loved him. He was on the radio for 20-some-odd years. Then something happened to him, whatever. Would you remember me? Yeah, don't call. Yeah, Mike, I would. Yeah, you have a memorial to me in your cabinet. You have a little thing. It's an altar with my books in it. And you go and you put a candle every night to me. Yeah, right. So the media is such a fleeting thing. I forgot the name of the show, Ray Donovan. It was over a week. I forgot it already. I swear to you. I forgot the other one it was on. The detective, over, gone. The media is amazing. It's such a here and now. You know, there's a certain beauty in being in the media. You know, the gurus used to say in the 60s, be here and now. They all wish they had a radio show. It's the most immediate medium ever, ever imaginable. You're here now and you're gone in a second. This is really a be here now. It's like being a guru on the radio. Be here now. Well, I'm here now. And if you care to join the show, it's 855-407-282. The phone number, 855-400-SAVAGE. And if you get through my call screen at Jim and you get on the air, you'll reach more people than you've met in your entire life.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON. Do shop it on.
We come here in unity because we've been invited by the minister, Louis Farrakhan, and with that power and with Kwame Ture inviting us to Libya, Gaddafi is still alive. So we say, down, down, USA! Down, down, USA! Down, down! Freedom to the Dene people!
There you go. See what Obama has wrought? Isn't that nice? What he's brought up from the underbelly of America to the National Mall. I mean, when you heard it in Jeremiah Wright's church, you dismissed it as not connected to the president and his wife, who sat through it for 20 years. I know if I went to a movie for 20 minutes and I didn't like it, I'd leave. I wouldn't sit in the movie for 20 years. But Obama sat for 20 years and listened to Jeremiah Wright, where they chanted, down, down, USA, and America can go to hell. You know all of that stuff. Well, they're still doing it. And why do you think they're coming out of the woodwork now? Can you put two and two together yet? Well, that's why you have to elect Hillary Clinton, because she's so much more moderate. You know she wouldn't cavort with such individuals. You know that she's separate from the Black Lives Matter crowd. You know that she's separate from the anti-white racists crowd. You know she's separate from the Louis Farrakhan white haters crowd, don't you? You know she doesn't appease them or cater to them, don't you? Sure, just put another Democrat in and see if you still have a country left. Well, anyway, that's my opinion, one man's opinion. I recognize that you'd rather I not talk about these things, but that's what I do talk about. And the country is hanging like a loose tooth. Now, sometimes when a loose tooth is hanging like this, it's better to just yank it and then fill up the cavity, because I don't know that it's worth saving this tooth. This tooth is hanging and it's so rotten, you may as well yank it. It's the Savage Nation. This is the home of the Savage Nation. Holding forth 5 days a week for the last 21 years with occasional days off. Phone number 855-407-282. Website michaelsavage.com. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
When the chrome was thick and the women were straight and we knew where the president was born, welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm not saying turn the clock back to the 40s when America had defeated Hitler and America's men had come home triumphant. No, I'm not saying turn the clock back to that, but somebody's got to do something about the defeatism of this snake in the White House. Somebody's got to do something. Someone has to say something. Here's a guy who goes on 60 Minutes. We have one newsman willing to stand up to the liar. And he squirms out of everything. He'll never cop to anything he does. Why? Because he's gotten away with it his whole life. Everyone's been afraid to say one word to him that's real. His whole life he's gotten away with lies. Shall I play the 60 Minutes interview or not? This is a good interview, I got to tell you. Let's start with clip one. This was your president on 60 Minutes with one newsman left in the United States of America on television. Listen to clip one.
The last time we talked was this time last year, and the situation in Syria and Iraq had begun to worsen vis-a-vis ISIS. And you had just unveiled a plan to provide air support for troops in Iraq and also some airstrikes in Syria and the training and equipping of a moderate Syrian force. You said that this would degrade and eventually destroy ISIS.
Over time.
Hold it. You hear? Right? Okay, keep going. Over time. You know, right away he has an excuse. What, over 1,000 years? Maybe over 1,000 years he'll degrade America. No, you know, but go on. I'll play the rest of it. I don't want to hear the whole thing again. We have such garbage equipment. I can't believe you can't pick a tape up from where it stops. This is so bad for a show like mine, where I start and stop things. Okay, but that's the limitations of the medium, I guess. I get frustrated, I get angry. And forgive me for including you, this my audience, because I have radio Tourette's. You'll have to forgive me. Whatever's on my mind, I say. And I don't control it, which makes it electrifying for you. I understand that. So where can you pick it up from? Play what you have. Let's see.
Destroy ISIS.
Over time.
Yeah. It's been a year. And
I didn't say it was going to be done in a year.
No.
Okay.
But you said...
There's a question in here somewhere.
See? Never answer a question. Never admit defeat. Constantly bamboozle people with your lies. Okay, here we go to the next one. I don't want to go to two. Go to three. Go to clip three. Here's your president again, lying his way out of an interview with Steve Croft.
What we've been able to do is to stall ISIL's momentum, to
lie,
take away some of the key land that they were holding.
Liar.
To push back, particularly in Iraq.
Liar.
Against some population centers that they threatened.
Liar.
And in Syria, we've been able to disrupt a number of their operations. But
liar.
What we have not been able to do so far, and I'm the first one to acknowledge this, is to
nothing.
Change the dynamic inside of Syria.
Oh, come on.
Here,
all right, let's stop here. He's gotten away with talking where he hears his own voice, and he starts to believe his own lies. You know, there's a saying, how shall I put it this way? My friend put it another way. To thine own self do not BS. He's a very wealthy man, my friend. He sold a company for hundreds of millions of dollars that he built out of nothing. He's an older gentleman. He said, to thine own self, do not BS. I guess nobody taught that to Mr. Obama. So he's gotten away with it all his life. And then the sycophants, yes, sir. Yeah, well, go on.
Find a way in which we can help moderate opposition on the ground. But
no such existing
we've
thing.
Never been under any illusion that militarily we ourselves can solve the problem inside of Syria.
Why not? What do you mean you're under the illusion? I guess Russia has that illusion. I guess Putin is the illusionist, and you're not. You're the realist. We've never been under any illusion that militarily we ourselves can solve the problem inside of Syria. First of all, the liar boasted last week that he has a coalition of 60 countries. What coalition? He has a knife and a fork from Turkey. He has a plate from Brazil. What coalition? What are they providing? Nothing. Dancing bands? I never heard anything like this.
We have a coalition, and look at him. Look at Putin. He has no coalition. It's him alone. Why, my coalition of 60 has done nothing, but we're there.
Never been under the illusion that militarily we ourselves can solve the problem inside of Syria. Putin has that illusion that he can solve it by bombing the vermin into the Stone Age. So then Croft goes on in clip four to take on, he tries to get the liar to admit anything. Listen to four.
One of the key players now is Russia.
Yeah.
A year ago when we did this interview, there was some saber rattling between the United States and Russia on the Ukrainian border. Now it's also going on in Syria. You said a year ago that the United States, America leads, we're the indispensable nation. Mm-hmm. Mr. Putin seems to be challenging that leadership.
In what way? Let's think about this.
Well, he's moved.
Hold it. In what way? I'm telling you, if you did a cartoon of a cartoon character that's deaf, dumb, and blind, it would have to be like this story right here. In what way is Putin leading? And what, you're losing, you did nothing for a year, and they've gained territory, conquered, blown up the monuments in Palmyra, raping, kidnapping, selling young girls on a slave market, and you're sitting here telling us you're winning and Putin's losing? He had to step in. He had to step in because he knew if they took over all of Syria, he'd have a real problem on his hands. And unlike your doofus in the White House, he doesn't want them to take over all of Syria. He wants to kill them before they can do that. And you know how many Americans who love this country wish Putin were the president of the United States instead of this creature? Why do I say a horrible thing like that? A, it's true, and B, it's satisfying to finally say the truth. The fact of the matter is Putin does things that are in the national interest of Russia. He does things that are in the national interest of Russia, and he respects Russia's sovereignty and Russia's desire to survive the Islamo-fascist threat that is ongoing around the whole world. Obama, on the other hand, doesn't even acknowledge there's an Islamo-fascist threat. That's the trouble we're in. You see, it's now 13 minutes after the hour. There's more to this interview. And we're going to play some of it. We've got the Million Stooge March, where they hated America and hated white people in the National Mall, downtown USA. We must not let a minority of Europeans rule over the majority of the black inhabitants. Jeremiah Wright, Obama's pastor, saying right, Jesus was a Palestinian, and then connecting Palestinians to Ferguson, Missouri, trying to tie that together. By the way, Jeremiah Wright is such a hypocrite and a liar. He lives in a very, very expensive home in Chicago, acts like he's down with the people. Isn't that interesting how all of these phonies try to stir up the idiot masses to hate Whitey? And they live in these huge mansions, surrounded by wealth, surrounded by bodyguards, and all they're doing is hating the country to let lowlifes like them rise to such a high position. That's how far he'd get in Africa with his mouth like that. Oh, boy, oh, boy. I didn't think I'd go here. I really didn't. I tried to have a light day on a, you know, Columbus Day. No one's listening. It's probably a core audience now of, I don't know, 50% of what it normal is. Everyone's on a vacation. They're on vacation, another vacation day for America. Another day off. Yee, yippee, take the drugs and go on vacation. Yee, let's go to the wine country. Let's drink cheap Chardonnay. Hey, you like that Chardonnay, Mildred? Yeah, it's real good. Tastes just like vanilla soda. Just like wine is supposed to taste. Yeah, they didn't doctor the wine for the average tourist. I don't even drink wine anymore. I can't, it's undrinkable. It tastes like bad soda lately with alcohol in it. So I'm strictly a beer guy, beer and vodka, not together, no. Looking back in my past in my journals, I can't believe the stuff I was drinking. When I was hanging out with the artists in the bars in Mallorca for a brief period of my life, I couldn't believe it. They were drinking brandy and champagne, cheap champagne and shots of brandy in the champagne. I did it too. I figured that's what artists do. Most of them wound up drunks dead on the floor of the bar. I caught on pretty quick that was no lifestyle for me, but I enjoyed it while I did it. The Bar Africa, it would open in the morning. They were in there right away. All of the expat Brits, all the poets, some of them were really famous, and I'll never forget it. It was great stuff. Good stuff. It made for good stuff. Good stuff in my life. Good stuff. I didn't put a dime in my pocket. Good stuff. See, this is the thing about the bohemian lifestyle, is that when you're doing it, you think it's fun and it's going to lead to something. It leads to nothing. The only thing that leads to success is hard work and a clean and sober mind. Nothing else. And a little luck thrown in. But the main thing is hard work, never stopping, and a clean and sober mind. Otherwise, you're going to get nowhere in life. Nowhere. Unless you were born on Pacific Heights, you'll become a heroin addict from the inheritance. Because it disenfranchises you from working. All you do is walk around all day long stoned and think that you're a god. Because your mother gave you the money. And you sneer at everybody as you walk down the hill from Pacific Heights. As you walk down from Broadway. And you go down to the Union Street at 11 in the morning for breakfast with three girls. You think you're on top of the world. The next thing you know, you're throwing up and you're dying in your own vomit. That's what goes on. I'm telling you, it's horrible. You look at the so-called unbelievable society of San Francisco, how degenerate and corrupt it is. You see the problem with America itself. They don't have children. They don't get married and have children. None of them. Well, a few here and there. They accidentally breed. 855-407-282, phone number. Savage Nation. Do you want me to go on this direction or the light direction? Raise your hands. I go back to the easy talk. I can go to the buffet aboard the USS Somerset a little bit more. Yes, buffet? Robert says buffet. How many of you want me to go heavy into the actual problems of America, who's doing it to us, and will we actually survive? I think I can't do that right now, but for those of you who are bent in the direction of the problems in America, who's doing it to us, I invite you to look at the table of contents of Government Zero, which is now on michaelsavage.com. And if you tell me you can resist reading this book, then I'll tell you that all you deserve hearing is about the buffet. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about everything under the sun, and one of the topics is the issue of saturated fats and cholesterol, which is a very important topic, because now ignoramuses in the media are saying it doesn't matter, eat what you want. I've heard this garbage for 40 years. Science tells you the opposite. Not the government, but actual studies, which you don't read when you're a sportscaster on radio. You know, you want to smoke cigars and say it has no effect on your health, good luck to you, but everyone knows it's absolutely related to cancer. You want to think you're going to be the 1 in 10 million that isn't affected? Keep smoking a cigar. You know, you want to load your body up with garbage food and think it has no effect on your health? Keep eating the garbage food. But that's not science. It's not medicine. Lenny on WMAL, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
Dr. Savage, you blend the politics with the science very nicely. Just wanted to touch base with you. Yeah, I concur with you on the absorption of the of fat in the cardiovascular disease, which I've been involved with and practicing for 30 years. The key thing is the cholesterol, and you can't separate it out. You do not absorb cholesterol, as you know, for digestion. It has to be broken down into micromolecules. So,
Hold on. Let's pause for the average listener. You and I know what you're saying. You know better than I do that some cholesterol is absorbed into the body. In addition to the body making its own cholesterol, some of the cholesterol in food is absorbed through the jejunum, or jejunum, however you want to say it, that part of the small intestine. And this was after many years of study. The protein named NPC1L1, if I remember, is a protein that allows cholesterol to be, let's say, captured and sucked up through the intestine and carried to the liver and bloodstream. So that tends to make your argument a little less strong.
Well, but that's only a certain situation. It's generally within a diseased gut. So what you have to be concerned with is that, in fact,
I don't agree with you. I'm sorry, doctor. I don't agree with you. I believe that all people have this protein named NPC1L1. It was only discovered recently. You know that.
Yeah, but bottom line is that, for the most part, high cholesterol is generated within the liver. And here's the deal.
Well, let's take it one statement at a time. Yes, cholesterol is manufactured by the liver. But consuming high cholesterol foods also impacts the amount of cholesterol in the body itself. Now, having said that, I come from a different school of thought altogether, going back to the early days of vitamin therapy with Linus Pauling, who argued that the amount of cholesterol in your blood doesn't matter at all if you're taking a sufficient amount of antioxidants such as vitamin E and vitamin C, which prevent the cholesterol from, and the saturated fats, from oxidizing and in essence altering the intima of the blood cells. So it's not the cholesterol or fat per se, it's whether or not you're preventing that from hardening inside the arteries, to make it simple. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, bingo, and I agree with you, and I've read your book, so I love Linus Pauling, and you are exactly correct. It is the oxidation within the bloodstream, not necessarily the count of cholesterol. And also the
so look, you're a cardiologist, you're like an Einstein compared to me when it comes to this stuff, but when it comes to blood chemistry and nutrition, I know a fair amount. But having said that, doctor, here's the thing. If you start telling the average listener out there that the amount of cholesterol in your food doesn't matter because your body makes it itself, and then they start loading their body up with all the foods that they've eliminated, and at the same time, they're also told, oh, don't take vitamins, they have no effect whatsoever, then we're back to the stupidity of the 1940s. And all of the knowledge over the last half century goes out the window because of sportscasters and radio who are now experts on nutrition.
Exactly right. And that's the whole thing. They paint this with a broad brush. And you can't separate out high-fat foods and high cholesterol. They're usually lumped together, so you're consuming bad food. That's the problem, you know?
Exactly. That's interesting. That's 100% right. In other words, deep-fried foods have a secondary set of problems associated with them that have nothing to do with fat. It's about the trans fats. Again, you can say that has no effect. That's nonsense. We all know trans fats are damaging to the arteries. You are great. I'm glad that you're a cardiologist who listens to the show and agrees with some of the things I say. I'm sending you a free copy of Nothing to Do with the Heart. It's called Government Zero and has everything to do with the heart of America. It's the Savage Nation. Be here, be nowhere. I'll be right back. More when I return.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So I'm one of these guys who gets a lot of blood testing done, like once a year. That's not a lot. That's not paranoia. Paranoia would be once a month or once a week. That would be nuts. Because my son said to me, stop with the blood tests already. You're like, you get too many. I got once a year. So because he said, don't get it, I went and had it done again. I'd forgotten that I wasn't doing it. So I just got this back. Can I share it with you on the air? I got that from my cardiologist. Dear Mike, just a preliminary note, as the advanced lipid testing is not available, slight elevation in glucose and HbA1c at 5.9 suggests some excess carbohydrate, but not diagnostic of diabetes at this level. Kidney, liver, thyroid, prostate, antigen, and CEA levels are normal. That's good. My PSA is 2.2, which is a big deal for men over a certain age. CRP level elevated at 5.2, consistent with increased inflammatory vascular risk. That's been going on for years. I'm always running an inflammation in my body constantly because I run hot. I'm on the radio. That's how hot I am. What do you think? I don't pay for it internally. I do. The guts are rotting out. It's like a race car. But the thing is, is a race car sitting in a showroom? I'm a race car, and I run it on the track 3 hours a day. And if it burns out on the nitrous oxide fuel, what can I do? I think they burn NO2 in those. I don't even know what they put into them. So PSA, prostate. I always worried about that. It's the one thing I worry about. Because, whoa, that's bad. When the PSA starts going up, you know, they're going to cut this thing off. I don't want that. Well, although they're doing it today in a different way, they target, they don't take out the whole schmegeggle. Years ago, if a guy had that, it was a death sentence to his masculinity. They cut the cords and you were finished. The next thing you knew, you were like a Democrat voting for Debbie Wasserman carrying a pocketbook. They cut the cords and the only thing you'd be good for would be marrying a woman like Debbie Wasserman Schultz and carrying her handbag around. But no, today you can live with a high prostate cancer. They're targeted. So it says, mine was, I thought it went up. He said 2.2. He said, no, it's not up at all. PSA 2.2 is pretty good. He said, no. May of 2013, it was 2.2. December 14, it was 2.4. Current 2.2. Back in 07 to 11, your range was 1.25 to 1.9. Then radio took over. My PSA has gone up since I was banned in Britain, and I've been fighting ever since. With legal suits. Like, it affects you. Don't kid yourself. Lawsuits will drive you to a cancer ward faster than anything. That's why that's why lawyers hate their lives. They pay for it inside. The one thing you should know, though, if you're into this whole field, is the LPA. I never understood why I'm still living. It's true, I'm saturated in antioxidants, and have been, I would say, what, when did I really start doing the vitamin stuff? 40 years ago? I was into it 40 years ago. I started taking mega doses of vitamin C and E and all of that. I was reading literature and practicing what I preached, and it's helped. I know that. Hasn't hurt. Dad died 57. Grandpa, 47. I remember I used to hang on and say, oh, well, that's terrible. They died young, but I was, like, always running, terrified, you know, the heart attack fear, cardio neurosis. And I always, like, hang on every word. I said, like, an aunt who knew the old country. I say, yeah, but in the old country, before they came here and they were stressed out, they must have lived real long in that old country. No, your great-grandfather died at 43. Okay. That's good to know. So, you know, it's like, where do you go? Where do you go from there when you know you're, you know, genetically, you got a time bomb facing your head? So, I started studying it, and I got to tell you, the food and the vitamins, all the other stuff has something to do with it. But here's the big but. It was only 2-3 years ago that I found out that my LPA, which is not controllable by anything, it's a certain fraction of lipoproteins. You know how you all look at HDL and LDL? We all know that. And then the VLDL and all of that. You look at the small fractions. There's another fraction of your lipids that you should look at called LPA, which cannot be altered. Drugs can't change it. Vitamins don't change it. It's either you have it genetically or you don't. It turns out I have an extremely low LPA. And it probably explains why I'm still living. Now, I must have gotten it from my mother. She lived to 88. Of course, she died of bowel cancer, God rest her soul. But that's the next set of problems. I'm not going for the kielbasa again, I'll tell you that. No more kielbasa in me. I'm sorry. That once was enough. I'm waiting for them to perfect the virtual colonoscopy. Where you swallow a marker, you know? That's what I don't want no more kielbasa on a screen, sorry. I didn't enjoy the experience. I know I live in San Francisco, but it was not that enjoyable, to be honest with you. It was horrible, drinking that garbage for 2 days and purging your gut, and then the gown and other people in gowns, like an award. It's like a bad thing. I don't want to go into it. I'm not into colonoscopy. Some people may like it. I don't know. Maybe they do it regularly. That wasn't so bad. Can I do it again, doc? No, sorry. You only get to do that once every 5 years. Can I not do it again in a month? No, sorry. Yeah, okay, but I don't enjoy procedures. But that's the one thing is this PSA, very concerned. Don't want to see it rise. Because as I say, the next thing you know, you're a pocketbook carrier for the women of the world like a Debbie Wasserman show. Do you mind that I'm just having fun? Does anyone mind that I'm just veering away from the insanity of the day? That's why we're playing 40s music, because I went on the ship, and they had a 40s group of girls dancing there and singing, and they were doing 40s songs. And it was fun. It was really fun, the USS Somerset. I don't know. I think they have too much. They expose too much of our military to, like, foreigners. I saw Chinese aboard making believe that they were just, yeah. Oh, can I go in there? No, sorry, that's closed to the public. Oh, no. Camera, click. Everywhere you go, click. Suddenly they closed off the war room, finally, after many years of the. I used to go on these ships. I couldn't believe my eyes. I'll never forget, as long as I live, I was on one of these 5 years ago. There was a Chinese woman from China, a journalist. Real cute. If she wasn't a spy, my dog isn't a poodle. She was running around clicking every companionway on that ship. Click, click. Oh, what's in there? Oh, click, click. Everywhere you turn, she was there. And the moron, the Navy morons, were everything they exposed to her. This was under Bush, the genius. So don't assume it just happened under Obama, the denigration of our military. Oh, this started a long time ago. The open to everybody. Everybody open. Go to China and see what they'll let you see. Now it even gets better. You want to hear another news story? This morning I read that the moron who Obama pointed up to head up NASA, who I think said Muslims created space exploration, I swear, I think it's the same jerk. The guy looks like Jeremiah Wright, an idiot. He says that we should cooperate with China and share all of our rocket secrets and make sure we do space exploration with China. This is the next thing. He gave up everything on the Earth, now give up space advancements that we have. Wow. Where does it end with these people? Could Donald Trump even purge these people from government? It's going to take an awful lot to clean up this mess. I don't know. Whatever. That's true. Well, now it's time for a little more sound from the actual America out there, not in your own head. And that would be, again, going to, I think, Jeremiah Wright, who is Obama's pastor. If you think that he's toned down his rhetoric, if you think that although he's a multimillionaire who lives in a mansion in Chicago surrounded by bodyguards, that suddenly he's realized what a moron he's been in steaming up blacks against whites and starting a race war, you are mistaken. And don't forget for 1 minute that he and Michelle sat in this guy's church for 20 straight years and didn't walk out once. I want you to listen straight out, 16, 17, and 18, on the Savage Nation. I didn't say it, he did.
The same issue is being fought today and has been fought since 1948. And historians were carried back to the 19th century. Biblical historians were carried back to the Book of Judges, where the original people, the Palestinians, and please remember, Jesus was a Palestinian.
Stop. You
the Palestinian
stop
people.
So this lying slime bag. Jeremiah Wright is a filthy, lying slime ball. There were no Palestinians, Jerry. You know that. You are such a hater. But you know, certain things never change. Scapegoating the Jews is something that's been known through the ages. Now, why should Obama's preacher be left out of the mob that has used Jews as targets of hate? He's just like those who worked for Adolf Hitler before the ovens. So now there were no Jews, according to this lying sack of garbage. There weren't Jews in Israel back then. No, it was all Palestinians. The word Palestinian was invented, by the way. It's a construct like the word Latino. Incidentally, Jesus, everyone knows, was a Jew, a Jewish rabbi. Everybody knows that. Every educated person knows that. But apparently the radicals, like Obama's preacher, made believe that it didn't exist. But it gets even better now. Listen how he tries to link up the first big lie with the next big lie in 17.
The youth in Ferguson and the youth in Palestine have united together to remind us that the dots need to be connected.
See the race war?
What Dr. King said?
What?
Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
That's
has implications
you.
For us as we stand beside our Palestinian brothers and sisters.
This
who
is
have
in
been
America
done one
now.
Of the most egregious injustices in the 20th and 21st centuries.
Can you believe the deranged fool your president sat in his church for 20 years? He's now linking the Palestinians with the black youth of Ferguson. And now he's linking in the great man, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who stood against anti-Semitism. Martin Luther King Jr. is famously known for having said, make no mistake about it, those who claim that they're not anti-Jewish, just anti-Zionist, are lying. All anti-Zionists are anti-Jewish. You check it out and see if he didn't say that. So to use Dr. King to foster his anti-Semitism is a triple insult. Now it gets even better. Listen to clip 18 as this lowlife sack of garbage, Jeremiah Wright, again tries to incite worldwide hatred against the poor Jews, not only in Israel but in America, trying to foment a race war. Listen to the next one.
As we sit here, there's an apartheid wall being built twice the size of the Berlin Wall in height, keeping Palestinians off of illegally occupied territories where the Europeans have claimed that land as their own. Palestinians are saying Palestinian lives matters. We stand with you. We support you. We say God bless you.
How can any Jew listening to this show ever vote for a Democrat? I don't understand. Excuse me, I do understand. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Liberalism is a mental disorder. And on that note, a quick break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Bobby Kennedy, the son of Robert Kennedy, met with me in Los Angeles to give me some shocking and revealing and, I mean, terrible information on what's going on at the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia. It has been brought to our attention that the senior lead scientist for the Center of Disease Control, has admitted that the MMR of vaccines and many of the vaccine shots have been genetically modified to attack black and Latino boys.
This is in America. This is in the United States of America, in front of the White House over the weekend, with the Nation of Islam stirring up hatred with lies that you would have seen in Hitler's time. Then now the CDC is modifying vaccines to attack black and Latino boys. This is something only utter morons could believe, number one. And believe me, they do. So what they want is a race war. Everyone who spoke there wanted to steam up people of color against white people. Every other word out of their mouth was against white people, and hatred such that I have never heard in my lifetime, all under the guise of freedom of speech, being put out by the so-called Million Man March speakers this weekend. And if you think the war on white police is by accident, you're mistaken. This war was triggered by Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and Al Sharpton. Never forget him. They worked at it for years until it finally happened. Now there is a war on white police. It's ongoing. The police are now intimidated across America. Crime is spiraling out of control. The police are not fighting back. And even Rahm Emanuel, as twisted as he is, with all the murders in Chicago, as corrupt and as twisted as Rahm Emanuel appears to be, even he is alarmed by the number of murders in his city of Chicago, where he's mayor. When he said the police of Chicago have become fetal, F-E-T-A-L, fetal, that's an interesting word. He said if they come upon a crime scene, they keep going because they don't want to lose their job or be sued. Really, and what are you going to do about it, Mr. Emanuel, now that you got what you wanted, which is intimidation of the policemen in your city? What are you going to do now? Who are you going to call now, the ACLU? You're going to call up your friends Marvin at the law school to stop the crime? So be careful what you sow, and as you sow shall you reap. And if you seek the wind, you shall reap the whirlwind. And now we see the whirlwind being reaped. White cops are being assassinated across America. And does Obama once get up and say, stop it? Does he once get up and say, I never meant for you to go out and attack police? Has he ever said, I'm sorry for what I've done? I'm sorry if I gave you the impression that the police are bad. Has he ever said that? No, he's deaf, dumb, and blind. Just as he's deaf, dumb, and blind to what he's done in Syria, he's deaf, dumb, and blind as to what he's done in this country. He is the most dangerous, deranged individual. Okay, I'll stop right there. I'm not going to finish it. I'm not gonna continue it. He is the most dangerous, deranged individual that you could have ever constructed to be in the White House this long. And the average American doesn't know it. No, some white people in the suburbs drive around Obama 08 bumper stickers. I see them. Proud of it. Proud of it like morons! I want to get out and talk to them, but I don't. I have a podium. It's called the Savage Nation Radio Show and my best-selling books. And I wrote this book. I'm going to say it again. I wrote Government Zero for them. I need you, those of you who know what's going on, to buy a copy for your moron neighbor who has an Obama 08 bumper sticker, or your moron husband or moron wife or moron brother-in-law who says, no, I'm a proud Democrat. I would never vote for those Republicans. No. And you say, don't you know what they've done? Give them the book, Government Zero. Ask them if they're intelligent enough to read it. References.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Keep on wearing turn this off. This stuff with the 40s nostalgia. Welcome to The Savage Nation. How about some heavy metal to reset the program back to where it should be? The one I like the best is Metallica, which is Short as Straw. I love that one. And while you're looking for that tune to play on the Savage Nation, we're hour number three already on the program. And, yeah, sure, we are in Minnesota and everywhere else in the country on many big stations. And I hope you'll enjoy our dance music tonight. Coming out to you from San Francisco. Oh, my God, what's going on? What's going on? It's a revolution right under your eyes. A civil war is being fought. You don't know it, of course. It's a shooting war in some places. If you're a white cop, you're on the receiving end of bullets. There is a civil war. I predicted a year ago, stop the coming civil war. Nobody has stopped the coming civil war. It's just getting worse. And this weekend, the fans were flamed by black activists in the so-called Million Man March. It was one hateful speaker after another, changing history, hating white man, hating the white man, hating America. Not one word from the con man in the White House saying none of this rhetoric is helpful. Nothing. In denial about his failures in the Middle East, in denial about his failures domestically, or are they failures? Many of you would say, Mike, you got it half right. He's not failing in the Middle East. He's succeeding because ISIS is on the move. He's not failing in America because he's wanted the crime wave. He's wanted the street rats to rise up and try to overthrow society. So he's succeeding, my friend. I don't know which way you see it, but doesn't really matter. The facts are the facts. No, siree, Bob. Germany. Dateline, Munich. Migrant crime wave, police capitulating. According to a classified document, the German government now estimates that Germany will receive as many as 1.5 million asylum seekers in this year, including 920,000 in the last quarter of 2015 alone. With family reunifications, the actual number of so-called asylum seekers could swell to more than 7 million. Now, when you say asylum, you know what that means, Muslim. What's astonishing to me is that while a dozen Arab clans hold reign over the city of Berlin's underworld, and while the Arab clans deal drugs, rob banks, burglarize department stores, run a parallel justice system, and attack the police, the crazy woman in Germany, Merkel, is bringing in more of them. How does a country survive the madness of a leader like Merkel? Well, ask yourself how the country survives the madness of a leader like Obama or the madness of a leader like Cameron. The answer is it doesn't. The answer is these are the last great days of the Western world. The Western world is being engulfed now by a wave that it can never recover from. If it sounds catastrophic and hysterical and alarmist, I apologize. None of the above is true. It's all real. This country cannot absorb the waves of Muslims that Obama wants to bring in. Any more than Germany will survive it. And what's even more astonishing is that we spoke in the last election and said no to massive immigration. And that was about Hispanics coming in from the South. And then to top it off, they tripled down on that. And now they're adding Muslims from the Middle East. What is the intent of the so-called liberals and their desire to sweep away in a tidal wave, sweep over rather in a tidal wave, the population of the nation? What are they trying to do? Why are the maniacs who run the world doing this? What do they hope to gain by wiping out the demographics and the culture of the Western world? Tell me what they expect to happen. None of it is good. Why are they doing it then? Are they thinking it through? Or are they just following orders from George Soros and his insane minions? I think they're actually thinking it through. I think they want total and absolute power over a world of slaves. You'll all be a slave. You're not much more than that now. I mean, you're a slave to entertainment. You're a slave to sports. You're a slave to your own digestive system. We all are to a certain extent. But when you have a media that is in such compliance with the government, as I define the government media complex, and it runs your whole life from morning till night, how different are you when you're mentally enslaved like this? Well, you're not in chains, thank God. You're free to drive around. You're free to buy what you want. And you're free to be an oaf who gets drunk and eats bad food. You're free to do nothing with yourself if you want. Is that freedom or is that slavery? I see everything now through the eyes of the radical Muslim. Do you know that? Do you know that I now see everything I look at through the eyes of the radical Muslim who is amongst us? How he looks upon this country? Every television show I look at through their eyes. Every time I go out in a restaurant, I see empty. I see the straw men and straw women sitting, gorging on food and alcohol, none of them getting any satisfaction whatsoever. I see an empty society. I do. I see a society where we're out without God. I see emptiness. I'm not trying to sound like a preacher here, but this is what I see. And I have to say it like it is. I know that it's a society that's died on the inside, which is why it's dying on the outside, which is why we can be penetrated like this. It's because there's no core. So where's the core supposed to come from? I don't have an answer for you because I don't have any way to bring God to you. You have to find it yourself. What is God? What are you talking about? What does God have to do with America? Nothing. Nothing. Obama has run a war against God for 7 straight years. He has thrown it out of the military. He's thrown it out of the schools. Crushed monuments with his help from the ACLU. Anyone who's a Christian is afraid to even show their Christianity. Christians are being slaughtered, kidnapped, murdered, enslaved. He says nothing, does nothing. Instead, he supports his Muslim friends who are doing it. So it's a very bad time to be a Christian, worse to be a Jew. He humiliated Benjamin Netanyahu. He marginalized the Jewish people. Just the other day in New York City, I read in the New York Post yesterday, an Arab ran up to 2 Orthodox Jews in the streets and threw a Molotov cocktail at them. In the streets of New York in the middle of the day, an Arab threw a bottle of flammable liquid at 2 Jews who were walking around the streets minding their own business, harming nobody. So there's a war going on. I warned you in the last year. I said, stop the coming civil war. And you thought I was an alarmist. You said it'll never happen here. Idiot, it is happening here. You have a revolutionary in the White House. You have revolutionaries surrounding the man in the White House. You have revolutionaries in the media. There is a civil war going on, and very few of us see it, and fewer still are trying to warn the people like Paul Revere and show you how to stop it before it's absolutely too late. Because once this conflagration gets to a certain critical mass, it will be like a forest fire that you can't stop. When I saw the Million Man March this weekend, and I saw one hateful black person after another, one hateful person of color after another, these were not the best and the brightest of the people of color community. I saw them on the ship the other day. When I was aboard the Navy ship, I saw the best and the brightest. But when I see these street radicals speaking every day against white policemen, against white people, against everything that's decent in this country, and not one word was uttered by the sorority in the White House to say this is wrong. I said, boy, the best is yet to come. They have a crescendo waiting for us in the last years of this reign of terror. There's a crescendo coming. And maybe it won't happen. I hope it doesn't. Just hope it doesn't. But anything's possible with government zero. When you have no opposition party to speak of, anything is possible. So that's related to this headline. Obama says, yes, I would win if I ran for president again. That's in the famous Steve Croft interview. Yeah, he said, if I ran again, I would win. Do you hear this? I don't know if you heard that one. What is he implying about that? Did you hear the Nation of Islam speaker, Vladimir X, railing against whites? Did you hear Jeremiah Wright railing against whites and Jews? Did you hear them chanting, down, down, USA? You didn't hear that? Didn't make it to your local television set while you're drunk watching a football game? This was going on the National Mall, organized with the help of the sorority and the government. Listen to the speaker in clip 13. This is something that you may have missed while watching sports. Listen to 13. This happened Saturday.
We come here in unity because we've been invited by the minister, Louis Farrakhan. And with that power, and with Kwame Ture inviting us to Libya, Gaddafi is still alive. So we say, down, down, USA! Down, down, USA! Down, down! Freedom to the Dene people!
Yeah, you say she's just a crackpot. What do you care? Really? Then why is she speaking in the National Mall at the invitation of the great genius Louis Farrakhan? Why would he let people speak saying that the CDC is modifying vaccines to kill black and brown boys unless he wants to stir up hatred and start a civil war? Why? Why would Jeremiah Wright get up and attack Jews like this? A man who's rolling in the fat, in the milk and honey of the land. Why would he hate the country that's given him so much for the same reason that his boss, Barack Obama, got away with all of this all these years. And then, of course, this you missed altogether. Million Man March speaker says every day young black males are being murdered by the blue Ku Klux Klan. You're not going to believe this. The blue Klux Klan, the thin blue line that keeps the animals from destroying your city, your town, your village, raping your daughter and burning your house to the ground. Home invasions, it's the thin blue line that keeps them away. Now listen to what went on under the nose of Barack Obama in clips 19 and 20.
We've come together today on 10-10-15. Because we are sick and tired of being sick and tired of scrolling down our timeline on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, and every other day we see a young black male being murdered by the Ku Klux Klan. I said the Ku Klux Klan. We came today to tell the United States government and all the wicked white oligarchy at the top of the power structure of this world that we love our children the same way you love your children. And you cannot kill a man with a bag of Skittles and a tea and get away with it. You cannot kill a man for wearing a hoodie and get away with it.
Oh, shut up. Get him off this. Get him off the air. Shut this illiterate moron criminal off my show. You love your children the same way that you love your children. They want to just stay home and be a father instead of being an animal in the gutter. You love your children? Stay home and raise them. Why don't you show them you love them? Get a damn job and be a role model to your children instead of a loudmouth revolutionary drug-dealing piece of garbage. Wow. And your president said nothing to this hatred. Nothing. Not one word was uttered by anybody in that place called the White House. That shining beacon on the hill. Look what it's become under this man. I blame him for this. He could have stopped it. He could have gone out there and said, this is wrong. We don't need this in our country today, but he didn't. This was coordinated with the White House. Because, you see, you don't understand something. All of this is happening for a reason. And it's a terrifying reason that all of this hatred's coming to the surface now. You think it's the last days of Barack Obama? You think this is all of this is coming up from the underworld by accident? I'll tell you why it's happening the minute I return. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Yeah, you get the picture. So as we took a break at the end of the last segment, I implied that I understand why Obama's unleashed the subterraneans upon society and what he tries to do with these speakers in stirring up hatred against whites, against white police, against Europeans, and against our nation as a whole. And it's obvious to me that he's trying to, in his mind, he doesn't want a shooting war. What he wants is to motivate millions of non-voters to vote for a Democrat. Period. End of story. He is so myopic, he's so narrow-minded, he is just simply all he's ever been, which is a small-minded, small-town community organizer. That's what he is. He's learned nothing from being on the world stage. He's still myopically thinking only about advancing his own party. That's all he can think about. And as the world burns, he says, no, the world's not burning. He says, I'm the hero, and Putin's the loser. He's the little man. Croft tries to get him to admit that he was wrong. No, I'm not wrong. Everyone else is wrong. But what about going up? What's going on in America? Oh, it's fine. Things are better. Crime is down. Economy is great. No, it isn't, Mr. Obama. I'm sorry, got to go right now. So that's what's going on right now. That's what's going on. ISIS never made such gains till he decided to keep his hands off. A nuclearized Iran. He's the only one who agrees that the deal is valid. A conflict with Russia, who was our ally. A global immigration crisis that was triggered by the execution of Gaddafi, engineered by the United States of America. Gaddafi warned that if he was overthrown, his country would become lawless, run by tribes, as Somalia. That's exactly what's happened. Then shifting the arms from Libya to Syria. That happened. The whole Arab Spring concept funded by George Soros. enacted by Hillary Clinton, the refugee crisis is the direct result, and not one newsman calls Hillary Clinton on that. That's why they're focused on the emails. Don't you understand it's another Monica Lewinsky false flag? Don't you get it? Why do you think they keep hammering or making believe they're such tough journalists talking about the emails when they know nothing's going to come of it? Because her real crime is the Arab Spring. Her real crime is the Arab Spring, which led to the European refugee crisis. That's her real crime against humanity. That's her real failure. That's her real stumbling block. But instead, they falsely focus you on the emails, which will produce nothing because it's in the hands of Obama's FBI. Why do you think the FBI seized the missing emails? To make sure that they can bury them the same way they did the Solyndra millions. Anyone go to jail yet on Solyndra? How about the fake energy plants produced? Well, I can go on and on.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
It's a year later. Ain't nobody come to save us. I'm not waiting for nothing to fall out the sky. I'm not waiting for your national hashtag to come save me. I'm going to do the same thing Zaki Baruti done did. I'm going to do the same thing Anthony Shahid done did. I'm going to do the same thing Mama Jamala Rogers done did. I'm going to do the same thing Percy Green done did. If you don't know them names, it's because them local names. Them local names with a national impact. So when I tell you we talking about justice or else, only got one thing to say. Ferguson is the or else.
Those are the sage words of one of the attendees of the so-called Million Dunce March this weekend. No doubt stirred on by the dunce in the White House, who was stirring up as much hatred as he can against the Caucasian people in plain English. I don't know how else to put it. You know, maybe I have Tourette's syndrome. Maybe I've come to understand that's my problem. I have radio Tourette's. I don't know how to mince words. If I knew how to mince words, I would be a politician. I have radio Tourette's, so forgive me for telling it like it is. And these people would not be heard from were it not for the character in the White House, were it not for the hatred coming out of Obama in his silk-smooth delivery, every which way, sending out the signals, saying it's okay now to pop out of the woodwork and spew your hatred. We wouldn't be hearing from these people. But this is the dangerous situation we're in. He's not fighting the external enemies, and he is promoting the internal enemies. A toxic brew indeed. So as I say, you know, you got to go on with your life every day. Did you know what news story I broke for you last Friday? I'm the only one in the radio media who got it. Do you remember the story? It's an astonishing story. I put it up on michaelsavage.com. I'm shocked. It was from the Free Beacon, but I saw it from a source before that. U.S. pulls aircraft carrier from the Persian Gulf. Obama suddenly, in the middle of the night, 11 o'clock our time, last Thursday or Friday night, abruptly pulled the USS Theodore Roosevelt out of the Persian Gulf. This is the first time since 2007 that the United States has no aircraft carrier in the sea. He took it out late Thursday night under the lying guise that it was taken out for maintenance. Can you believe that he gets away with a thing like this? The ship has 5,000 troops and 65 combat planes. And Obama abruptly removed this ship from the Persian Gulf. Why did he do it? He didn't do it for maintenance. I told you why I think he did it. He did it because he was afraid the Russians would sink it. That's how sad this country has become under this man in the White House. Look, I've heard it before, Mike. Get off the Obama bashing. I can't get off it. There's no way to stop it. The man is a disaster. He's going to destroy all of us unless somebody steps in and says it. I'm saying it. A few others are saying it. There's not a lot of us left who are willing to even say it. Steve Croft on CBS News tried to take the charlatan on. We have that sound. We have one person in the electronic media, other than the few people in radio, who dared take on the charlatan, the conniver in the White House. Steve Croft challenged him on every level. And the snake thought that he charmed everybody with his lies because he's gotten away with it all his life. Ever since he's been a little child, this kid has gotten away with anything he wanted because he's a silk-smooth, pathological liar, possibly mentally ill. Now, all of that wouldn't matter to me if he wasn't the commander-in-chief. We are losing the war against the most dangerous terrorists the world has ever seen. We're losing it. You know, the news is so bad that I dare not give it to you. But I realize I'm getting agitated. It's only Monday. This weekend was Fleet Week in San Francisco. The whole week is Fleet Week, and Navy ships come in, and I usually get invited aboard a warship. I went aboard the USS Somerset, which is an amphibious landing ship, and it's an amphibious transport dock ship. Now, it's a new ship. It's only 2 years old. It had the new ship smell on it. Still had the new ship smell. And I love warships. And I love meeting the young people who make this ship run. They usually take Marines into harm's way. They are known as, in the parlance of the guys and the women who run them, as the taxi for the Marines. You know, and despite what Obama has done to the military, despite his decapitation of the command structure in order to render the military somewhat like the Soviet Navy before it lost its interchange with the Japanese Navy in the early 1900s. Yeah, oh, that's what happened. You know, the Soviets once had the most powerful navy in the world, so they thought. And these dreadnoughts went up against the young, aggressive Japanese Navy, and they were decimated. And Obama, of course, would like to see that happen to this Navy. We know that. But it's not going to happen. Because I met some of the most wonderful people in the world on that ship. The men and women who actually make the ship run. And they're still there. These ships would not run if it wasn't for these, how shall I put it? They stand straight and tall. Their shoulders are back. They're made of iron. They're brave and they love America. There's no other way to put it. And I loved being aboard this ship because it's named for... Why do you think the ship is called the USS Somerset? The Somerset was named for... You know what? Does anyone know what Somerset is referenced to? United Airlines Flight 93. When the vermin called Islamo-fascists. Islamo, I-S-L-A-M-O, hyphen, fascists. The Muslim terrorist bastards flew those planes into the World Trade Center, then into Pennsylvania. This ship was created in namesake for the people who died aboard that flight. And there's a memorial wall to them, and it's pretty stirring to see the people have not forgotten who they are. Remember, the passengers and crew were able to make calls from the flight and then learn of the events that were unfolding at the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. And realizing then that their plane was under attack by the Islamo-vermin, the passengers decided to take action. And their heroic stand lasted only a few minutes. But their actions reverberate loudly today, right now, on the Savage Nation. And at 10:03, the plane crashed into a reclaimed coal strip mine in Stony Creek Township in Somerset County, PA. You should know that had it not been for the brave actions of these people aboard that plane who knew they were going to die, but chose to try and kill the vermin, the filthy vermin who took over that plane, the Islamo-fascist vermin would have reached their intended target, and countless more lives would have been lost. And so the ship is named in their memory. It should stand as a reminder to all of us that all of us can play a role in fighting the fascists who are now trying to take over the world. Make no mistake about it, they're everywhere, and Obama's importing them as quickly as possible. Now, I didn't say he's seeking out ISIS members, but I also didn't say he's not seeking out ISIS members. If you flood America with Muslims from a war zone, can anyone listening to this show, no matter how brainwashed you are, can you honestly tell me that you know which one of them is a genuine refugee and which one of them may be an ISIS member hiding as a refugee? You know you can't. You say, well, what do I care? Well, if you don't care, then don't listen to the show. Go listen to NPR. Go waste your time listening to garbage, because this country, this world that you live in, is under attack on a daily basis. If you think it's hyperbole, I can't help you. It means that your head is in the sand. We are fighting a world war. And guess who's winning? It's not us. And that's because we lack a commander-in-chief. We have a lying, thieving commander-in-chief who refuses to acknowledge the enemy itself. How do I know that's true? Why am I so alarmed about the fact that ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the other Islamo-fascists around the world are not being decimated, not being degraded, not being defeated, but are in fact metastasizing into a cancer that could sweep over the entire world that you live in? Why do I say it? even Cameron of England 2 weeks ago corrected Obama when they were on a panel at the UN. And Obama dared say that all religions have terrorists in them. And Cameron had to literally catch him and say, now, Barack, we've both fought them together. And you know that it's particularly Islamic fascists that threaten the world. And Obama didn't change his tune. He didn't lose a beat. Because Obama's on a tear here. He is on a tear. And you have to ask yourself why he won't put Islamo next to it when even Muslims understand that it's connected to Islam. How can you call Islamic State not Islamic State? What are they? What are they? The Buddhist state? The Jewish state? The Christian state? The Hindu state? The Zoroastrian state? They want a fundamentalist 7th century world to emerge on the planet. And you won't survive in it. Your wife will be in a burqa. Your daughter will be sexually mutilated. You will live in a hell you could never imagine. But you wouldn't know that given the media that we have today. And so, as I say, we have the warships, we have the planes, we have the tanks, we have the missiles, we have weapons that we can't even imagine. But we don't have the leadership. The commander-in-chief has decapitated the leadership. The ships still sail, the planes still fly, but they don't hit the targets. Yeah, that's another thing I noticed. As he's displacing the white people in America with folks from everywhere on earth except Europe, did you notice that he's pushing the Jews kind of in the background and bringing in the Arabs? And that there's a lot of crime against Jews in America? Didn't notice that either, huh? The last to notice that will be the liberal Jews. Oh, yeah, they're the last to notice anything. Geniuses, billionaires, trillionaires, geniuses in art, medicine, science, business. They don't even notice what's going on around them in their own country. A Molotov cocktail was thrown at two Orthodox Jews in the middle of the streets of New York yesterday by an Arab who said, I will kill you. Everywhere you turn, you see this going on. But all right, don't pay attention. Put your head in the sand. I got to talk about this for a minute. Because, you know, there's one thing I'm not going to tolerate. Stupidity. I will not tolerate it no matter who it comes from, left, right, center. But when I hear people get on the radio who you trust and say to you that there's no such thing as worrying about fat or cholesterol in food, that it's all hogwash, I'm sorry, I have to criticize it. And then to have the audacity to say that you believe it because the government tells you to believe it, I'm sorry, this is my field. And I'm not going to listen to an uneducated dolt talking to you about health and medicine. I won't listen to it. You know, medicine is based upon science. Science is a process. Science is based upon evidence. The evidence is very clear, not pretty clear, very, very clear, that those who eat high cholesterol, high saturated fat diets die at a much higher rate of coronary heart disease, atherosclerosis in specific. It's not a disease of the heart. It's a disease of the blood vessels. This has been well known for a long period of time, going back to the 1950s. The best studies in the early days were by the Shute brothers, S-H-U-T-E, geniuses, you never heard of them, who showed definitively that if you use mega doses of vitamin E, you can reverse this. Then there were the great studies on other things that built slowly to the epidemiological studies, which showed, especially the Framingham study in Framingham, Mass, of huge numbers of people. Again, definitively showing those who were on high cholesterol, high fat diets had much higher rates of atherosclerosis, therefore heart disease. And you have to know this is based on scientific evidence, not upon feelings. So you say, well, how do you explain those who live to 90 who eat garbage diets and smoke cigars and drink whiskey? I defined them in 1983 in a book of mine as nutritional rogues. There are always going to be people who can abuse their bodies and live to a ripe old age. The rest of us are not as blessed as the nutritional rogues. Most of us aren't. They're the outliers. Most of us don't have that luck. You see what I'm saying? So we have to, like, watch what we eat, we exercise. That's common sense. But to throw all of common sense out with the anti-government rhetoric that is raging in the right-wing community now is nonsensical and sickening. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. There's something about the defeatism of this snake in the White House. Somebody's got to do something. Someone has to say something. Here's a guy who goes on 60 Minutes. We have one newsman willing to stand up to the liar, and he squirms out of everything. He'll never cop to anything he does. Why? Because he's gotten away with it his whole life. Everyone's been afraid to say one word to him that's real. His whole life he's gotten away with lies. Shall I play the 60 Minutes interview or not? This is a good interview, I got to tell you. Let's start with clip one. This was your president on 60 Minutes with one newsman left in the United States of America on television. Listen to clip one.
The last time we talked was this time last year, and the situation in Syria and Iraq had begun to worsen vis-a-vis ISIS. And you had just unveiled a plan to provide air support for troops in Iraq and also some airstrikes in Syria and the training and equipping of a moderate Syrian force. You said that this would degrade and eventually destroy ISIS.
Over time.
Over time.
Hold it.
It's been a year.
Right? Okay, keep going.
I didn't say it was going to be done in a year.
No.
Over time. Right away, he has an excuse.
You said,
there's a question in
what, over 1,000 years? Maybe over 1,000 years, you'll degrade America. Never answer a question. Never admit defeat. Constantly bamboozle people with your lies. Okay, here we go to the next one. I don't want to go to two. Go to three. Go to clip three. Here's your president again, lying his way out of an interview with Steve Croft.
What we've been able to do is to stall ISIL's momentum, to take away some of the key land that they were holding.
Liar.
To push back, particularly in Iraq.
Liar.
Against some population centers that they threatened.
Liar.
And in Syria, we've been able to disrupt a number of their operations. But what we have not been able to do so far, and I'm the first one to acknowledge this, is to change the dynamic inside of Syria.
Oh, come on.
The goal here.
All right, let's stop here. He's gotten away with talking where he hears his own voice, and he starts to believe his own lies. You know, there's a saying, how shall I put it this way? My friend put it another way. To thine own self do not BS. He's a very wealthy man, my friend. He sold a company for hundreds of millions of dollars that he built out of nothing. He's an older gentleman. He said, to thine own self do not BS. I guess nobody taught that to Mr. Obama. So he's gotten away with it all his life. And the sycophants, yes, sir. Yeah, well, go on. Let's go on.
To find a way in which we can help moderate opposition on the ground.
No such existing
but
thing.
We've never been under any illusion that militarily we ourselves can solve the problem inside of Syria.
Why not? What do you mean you're under the illusion? I guess Russia has that illusion. I guess Putin is the illusionist, and you're not. You're the realist. We've never been under any illusion that militarily we ourselves can solve the problem inside of Syria. First of all, the liar boasted last week that he has a coalition of 60 countries.